This sermon by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, January 29th, 2006, and is entitled, Remaining on Task, taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5.
Father, as we come to your word now, our prayer is that you would open it to us. Our prayer is that you would grant to us eyes to see and ears to hear. That you would grant to us the courage and the boldness to order our lives according to the truth of your word. Father, as you speak, may we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever have one of those days that you get up and you walk into the kitchen and then you stand there for a few minutes trying to remember why you came in the kitchen? Or you're driving down the road and all of a sudden everybody in the car says, where are you going? We were supposed to turn back there. You ever have days like that? Weeks like that? Months like that? Usually it's because your mind's divided. Usually it's because you're thinking about so many different things, you're just distracted. And for the most part, it's harmless. But it can be deadly. If you work with power lines, you might want to remain focused. Because that one little mistake may be the last one you make. Some people can't afford to be distracted. If you're a heart surgeon, you really need to stay focused throughout the whole procedure. If that surgeon doesn't remain focused, it may be your loved one doesn't get off the table. Those moments where you go brain dead. Those moments when you really do know better, but the old gray matter just isn't functioning up to par. Harmless, possibly deadly. See, that's what has me concerned about the direction of the church. Because what we do has eternal consequences. A lot of questions being raised today. A lot of people are asking questions about the church and the nature of the church and the work of the church, the ministry of the church. They're asking questions like, what is it we're to be about? What is the ministry of the church? What is to be our focus? When we come together on a Sunday morning like this, is this a place for believers together, or is this a venue for evangelism? Are we interested in building community, or is our aim to gather a crowd? Is evangelism a matter of go and tell, or is evangelism y'all come and hear? What's to be the aim or the focus of worship? And what about music in the worship service? What kind of music is appropriate? What style of music should we use, and how much music should we use in worship? And what about drama and dance? Is there a place for that or not a place for that? And how about that sermon? Is it too long? Or is it too short? Do we really even need to have a sermon at all? Maybe we ought to replace the sermon with a multimedia production. Maybe that would bring the message home even clearer. Is it wrong to target an audience? Is it wrong for a church to say, well, given our location, given the makeup of our church, this is who we're after? And what about demographics? Is it wrong to study the community in which you live and understand the economics at work, to understand the culture that is at work? How much of a role does that play? And who gets to set the agenda for the message? Who determines what message is delivered? What subjects are covered? All of those are valid questions. All of those are questions that are perfectly legitimate to be asking. And we would do well to ask some of those questions. There are all kinds of things that we could do within our community to meet legitimate needs right here surrounding our facility. But how is it we determine what we will do and what we'll leave undone? If it meets a legitimate need, does that demand that we do it as a ministry of the church, as an extension of our work? Or are there some good things that we leave alone because they don't fit within the scope of our calling as a church? Again, I think these are valid questions. But the problem is, when you begin to try to answer those questions and you try to look at all of those issues, which I would agree are valid and worthy of consideration, but if we're not careful, all of that starts swirling around in our mind, and before long, we have those brain dead moments when collectively as a church, we forget what we're here for. Distracted. Because of too many things. Distracted because I'm trying to keep up with everything that's going on around me. It's possible. It's possible to be so involved with good things, we neglect the essential thing. Now please hear me. Please hear what I'm saying. I'm not at all suggesting that we don't do anything other than what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's what we're about. That's all that we do. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that we must be willing to look at and examine everything we do and see it as an extension of the primary task that's been given to us as the church. We do what we do because we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are about the business He has given to us. I think that's essential for the life and health of the church. Everything's to be an extension of the primary task assigned to us. The Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life. He's there in prison. He is awaiting trial. He's been charged with treason, and so he knows that that means he's going to die. And by the way, he already knows what the verdict's going to be, even though there's not been a trial yet. He knows his life is ending. And so he's writing to Timothy, his young son in the work of the Lord, and he's writing to him about standing firm and doing the thing that he was called to do. And in a very real sense, it's the great apostle handing the torch to the next generation. And he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, before long, it's going to be on your shoulders. So Timothy, stay focused. Timothy, remember the primary task that's been given to us as the church. Our text this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first five verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 down through verse 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now this is a very familiar text because it's one of the most preached texts for an ordination service. If you attend an ordination service, the service for setting apart a man to the ministry of the Word of God, the preaching ministry, you're probably going to hear a sermon from this text. If it's not the text of the sermon that's preached, you're certainly going to hear it read, and it's going to be referred to in the process of that service. I understand that these are words from the Apostle Paul to his son about remaining faithful in the work of the gospel. It is, in effect, his last will and testament given to someone that he dearly loves about the work that God has called both of them to. I understand it is specifically to Timothy, but I believe it is a word that the church must hear because it applies to all of us as the church. It applies to us collectively to the work that God has called us to. And I believe the basic thrust of this truth is this. Amidst the clamoring for excitement, thrills, and an all-encompassing ministry, we must not lose sight of our primary task. We have been called to preach the Word. Amidst all of the clamoring, that we got to have this and we got to have that in our worship, and there needs to be a thrill and there needs to be excitement, and we've got to generate interest in the context of that, which I don't believe is all wrong. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying in the midst of all that, we must not lose sight of what our task is. And our primary task and our primary responsibility is not to gather a crowd. We hope to gather a crowd. We hope to reach as many people as possible. We hope that our message makes it around the world. But our task is to preach the Word. Our primary task as a church is the ministry of the Word of God, and specifically the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And what we have to do is see everything we do as an extension of that. We have to look at all the stuff that we're doing as a church and say, how does it relate to our primary task? How does it relate to the work that God has specifically given us to do? Are we to minister to the oppressed and the hurting? Yes, absolutely. As an extension of our preaching the Word of God, we minister to the hurting and the oppressed. Are we to champion the cause of the poor and the disenfranchised? Yes, absolutely. As an extension of our preaching the Word of God. Are we to engage in missions and evangelism? Absolutely. As the fruit of our ministry of the Word of God. Are we to engage in vibrant worship? Yes, as a necessary component of our ministry of the Word. Everything needs to see that it fits into the primary role and task that God has given us as the church. These aren't separate things out here that we're doing because there's so many needs out there and we need to do everything we can to try to help our hurting world. There is something that sets us apart from the numerous social service agencies that are out there. And that is, we are the church of the Lord Jesus, charged with preaching the gospel of Christ around the world. That has to be at the heart of everything we do. A ministry of the Word. Three things that I want us to grasp from Paul's word to Timothy that I think we must keep before us as the church. First of all, understand, we have been given a solemn task. We've been given a job to do. We have specifically been given a task. It has been assigned to us. This is what we are to be about as the church. And notice what Paul says in the opening verses. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. These words are packed with emotion. These are strong words, and there is an urgency behind them. And this word is solemn, it is clear, and it is passionate. I charge you. He uses a very specific word. He uses a word that he's already used in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. He used it back in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21 and again in chapter 6 and verse 13, talking to Timothy. I'm charging you. This is more than good advice. This is more than just, hey, I think you ought to be aware of some things. He's saying, I solemnly charge you. I formally testify to the truth of this to you. In fact, I think a good way to read this is to say, I solemnly warn you. You're going to be held accountable to this. It is a serious, serious matter. And he punctuates it. I mean, the words themselves are strong enough. It's pretty clear just reading it, but he wants to underscore it. So he says, I'm charging you in the presence of God, the sovereign creator of everything that is, the one who spoke the world into being, the one who entered into covenant with his people, the true and the living God. I charge you in his very presence, and not him alone, but also that of Christ Jesus, who, by the way, is the judge, the coming Messiah, and the sovereign king. It's what you might call overkill. He's driving home a point. This is a serious, serious matter. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, now, I'm writing to you because I desire to come to you. It is my plan. I have every reason to believe I'm going to get to you. But in case I don't, I want to go ahead and tell you these things so you'll know how to conduct yourself in the household of faith. Timothy, I'm writing you these things so you'll know how to do church, how you can operate and function as a church. And he talks about who ought to be leaders and the kind of things that ought to qualify them for leadership within the church. And he talks about principles of church government. This is a more personal note. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to understand how serious and how solemn this responsibility is. And we in the church need to understand the task that's been assigned to us as the church is a solemn, awesome responsibility. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Jesus, who is the judge. And John 5 makes it clear, all judgment has been given to the Son. Now, think about that for a minute. You're Timothy, the Apostle Paul, whom you love with all your heart. You've seen his wonderful example that he has set for you, his willingness to stand for the eternal truths of the gospel, regardless of what it cost him. You know he's in prison. You know he's going to die. He is writing to you his last words, and they are a solemn charge. It says, I want to warn you, Timothy, you will stand before the one who was the faithful servant of God, who perfectly obeyed every command of God, and he will judge your faithfulness to the task assigned to you. That's laying it on. But he's laying it on for a reason. And I think in the church, we've kind of lost sight about how important this task is. And we allow ourselves to get sidetracked by a lot of very good things. Things that are needful and helpful and good within the community. But we can be so busy doing those good things, we neglect the essential thing that was assigned to us. Timothy, I'm charging you. I'm seriously warning you of the importance of this. What is the this? Preach the word. Then he spells out in specifics. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. There's urgency behind his words. He's saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't waste time. Timothy, don't neglect this. Timothy, get on this now. What do we know about Timothy? We know that Timothy had a tendency to be shy. He was somewhat timid. He's already had to say to Timothy, don't let them despise you because you're young. Timothy, don't let them look down on you. Don't let them just brush you off and set you aside because you're just a kid and you don't know anything. Timothy, stand firm. Timothy, you need to approach those older men. You don't talk down to them. You treat them like fathers, but you stand up to them. And you treat younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. But Timothy, you do point out error. And you point out what is wrong. And he's saying, Timothy, here's your assignment. Preach the Word. And don't waste time doing other things. Timothy, preach the Word and get on it now. Don't wait. There is an urgency behind his words. Proclaim aloud or herald the truth of the Word of God. He's reflecting back to what he had said in chapter 2 and verse 9 when he said, Timothy, don't ever forget the Word of God is not chained. And then he tells him in verse 15 of chapter 2, Timothy, do your best to present yourself a workman who has no reason to be ashamed. He's already said, Timothy, the Word of God isn't chained, so roll your sleeves up and get to work. And now just chapter and a half later, he comes back and says, Timothy, preach the Word. The primary task assigned to us as the church of the Lord Jesus is the preaching of the Word of God. Now, it should go without saying, but I'm afraid in the context that we're now living, it has to be said, he is called to preach the Word, not his opinions. He's called to preach the Word, and not his experience of the Word. He's called to preach the Word, not give his testimony. There's a place for that. There is a place for us sharing our stories and our experience and to give words of testimony as a means of encouragement. But our primary task is to preach and teach the Word of God. To set forth the eternal truth as God has spoken and as God has given it. And Timothy, you need to be prepared in season and out of season. Timothy, you be prepared when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. One writer said what he's calling for and demanding is a radical availability. In a very real sense, he said, Timothy, you be prepared to preach at the drop of a hat. Be ready. One said, Timothy is being urged to be ruthless in his persistence to the task assigned. Nothing to deter you. In season, out of season. At all times, be ready, be prepared to set forth the eternal truths and claims of the Word of God that will express itself in three ways, as reproof, as rebuke, and as exhortation. To reprove is to correct error. To rebuke is to correct behavior. To exhort is to encourage, and all of that is a part of the work that's been assigned to us. When we preach the Word, there will be times that we are correcting error. When we preach the Word, there are times it will correct behavior. And when we preach the Word, there ought to be encouragement for the people of God. Encouragement to what? To repent. Encouragement to be strengthened and to move on. Encouragement to remain at the task assigned. We have been given a solemn task. We have been given an awesome responsibility as the church in the midst of our doing good, which we need to be doing. in our reaching out to the community and being involved in the community and taking care of the poor and doing for the oppressed and championing the cause of the disenfranchised, which is all things we should be doing, we must not lose sight of the primary task given to us. Because if we do all the rest and leave the preaching of the Word undone, we have failed miserably. Because we failed to do the thing we were commanded to do in the Scripture. It's why we're different from the United Way. It's why we're different from other social agencies. And all of this, by the way, is to be done with complete patience. The word means long-suffering or forbearance. We are not to enjoy reproving and rebuking. If we as a church enjoy that kind of ministry, we are perverting the gospel. Though we don't enjoy it, it is a necessary part of our task. And we rebuke and we reprove in tears as we preach the eternal truth of the gospel to a lost world. This is our primary task. Everything else we do must be done and must be seen as an extension of this task. Second, our task is necessary due to the nature of fallen man. Why is this task so important? Why is this such a solemn responsibility? Why was it given to us? Why do I say it's primary? Because of what he says in verses 3 and 4. Timothy, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Now, was this an example of the Apostle Paul being a great prophet, that he was prophesying far into the future? No, he was saying this is inevitably what's going to be happening because it's what's happened from the beginning. This has been the nature of the work of the people of God all along. Let me give you two examples. Listen to the words of Jeremiah chapter 5. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love it so. But what will you do when the end comes? Jeremiah in his own day dealt with those who prophesied falsely or who taught false doctrine. And God says through the prophet, the problem is my people love it that way. Oh, it's a prophecy for last days. It's a prophecy for how things are going to be before the coming of Christ. But by the way, folks, it's been a problem since the garden. Ezekiel says the same thing in chapter 3 and verse 32. People naturally move away from truth into error. It's part of our fallenness. As a result, they will not endure sound teaching. They'll not hold to. They'll not stay with. They will not abide sound teaching. But rather, because of their itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will gather around them teachers that tell them what they want to hear, and they will wander off into myths. The nature of man is such that he is prone to reject the truth and embrace a myth. Isn't that one of Paul's major points in the first chapter of Romans? They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Our task is a solemn task, and it is essential due to the nature of man. Therefore, the church must preach the Word, must be faithful to the Word of God, must declare the whole counsel of God. Why? Because it is through the foolishness of preaching that God saves. Now hear me. It's not through foolish preaching but the foolishness of preaching. What good does it do? The world's going to hell in a handbasket, and you tell me you standing in that pulpit's going to make a difference? No, I'm telling you that God the Holy Spirit, through the foolishness of my and others standing in pulpits like this, through His working, takes that and does marvelous, glorious, extraordinary things. Because He has ordained the means as well as the ends. I have no inflated view of myself or what I do. But it's the task assigned, not just to me, but to us as the church. And you're responsible, as well as I am, for the ministry of the Word of God. You won't be able to stand before Him in judgment and say, I wasn't the preacher. Were you the church? The task was given to you. You are responsible. And the reason you're responsible is because of the darkness of this world. And you are to be a light. Because of the perversion of this world, you are to be salt. We have been given a solemn task. That task is to preach the Word. It is essential. It is necessary because of the fallenness of man, because of the nature of man and his corruption. One last thing. The fulfillment of our task demands a determined focus. As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Be sober-minded. Keep your head. Become a source of stability in an unstable world. Bear up under your suffering. And by the way, he just told him up in chapter 3 in verse 12 that all who live godly will face persecution in this world. Timothy, bear up under it. Don't let it cause you to quit. Don't let it cause you to alter your stand. Don't let it silence your voice. Bear up under it and continue to do the work of an evangelist. Again, I don't think this applies only to Timothy. I don't think it applies only to those who are called as pastors and evangelists and missionaries. I think it is true of every child of God that we are to do the work of an evangelist. The gospel is to be our life's work in living, believing, and preaching the gospel on a regular basis. Thus we fulfill, we carry through to the end, we complete our ministry and our mission. As we seek to define what the church is to be in the 21st century, when we look and say, churches across the board are in decline, numbers are dropping like a stone, there is that part of us that needs to evaluate. Are we meeting the generation in which we live? Are we speaking the language that this generation hears and understands? Or are we two or three generations removed, and so we might as well be speaking in a foreign language? We need to ask those questions. And we must be willing to adapt where necessary. But we must not ever lose sight of our primary task. We are called to preach the Word. We are called to declare the eternal truths of the Word of God, the glorious gospel of Christ, the message of life and hope to all who will repent and believe. That's our primary work. And everything else needs to be an extension of that. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.